Welcome back to issue 32 of Behind the Panels, the comic book podcast that's considered a princess in geek mythology. I'm one of your co-hosts, Richard Gray.
And I'm your other co-host, David McVeigh. Richard, we're back!
Where did we go?
I have no idea what happened there. We just disappeared off the planet for a little while.
I was off creating a parallel Earth.
And that I was off on the planet of, what is it, Ioa? Oa, that's the one. Oa.
Actually, I just disappeared into the Sydney Film Festival for a couple of weeks, and you were busy becoming a genius.
Yeah, that's kind of the way it was. So now we're all finished. We get back to normal.
Well, in this issue, after all that...
Well, that's it. I'm going now. See you later.
Well, in this issue, bitterly, while we've been doing that, Mark Miller's become a doctor. Yahoo's gotten into motion comics. DC is resetting everything back to zero. The Dark Knight Rises continues its viral campaign. There's the first full trailer for Judge Dredd is released. And Justice League porn, Green Lantern and Nightwing. More on that later.
All right.
But first, before we get into Nightwing, Green Lantern porn, it's our vintage clip of the week. And let me just say, before I start with this one, it's a Superman clip that takes somewhat of a dramatic turn in the middle, and stay with me to the very end.
All right. I'm waiting with bated breath here.
What all them eyes? There's got to be a chew someplace.
Yeah, let's get out of here.
Right.
Fast.
It's Superman.
Hi, Lo.
How'd you find us?
My freaky X-ray vision.
Let's get him, guys. Yeah.
Exercise, take that, find that. Let's see what you can do. You boys, pow, are good. Bam, I like a group who really tries. Come on, pow, let's go. You'll learn a trick or two. Gee, it's funny that only a moment ago. Pow, bam, zonk, I doubted myself. And all that was right. But now I see the light.
Oh, Superman, you're wonderful.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, I know.
That was... Now, let me get this right. That was from It's a Bird, It's a Plane, It's Superman, a 1975 TV special, which was an adaptation of the 1966 Broadway musical of the same name.
And makes you realize how the Salkinds managed to pick up the rights for Superman so cheap.
Oh, yeah. So it's only 3 years later that wow. Superman the movie came along.
I like it. He goes, hey, Lo, let me use my freaky X-ray vision.
You're really good. Yeah, I know.
That is awesome.
I was looking for something a bit kooky. We've already done an Archie's clip earlier, and this week, of course, our Kick-Ass pick of the week, if I didn't mention that at the top of the show, is or should I say our Kiss-Ass pick of the week, is Archie Meets Kiss.
And can I just say now that when we actually chose to do this book, we thought we wanted to do something fun and light and frivolous, and now I really regret that.
Yeah, from now on, it's going to be dark, disturbing.
but more on that later, which I think will probably be, it could possibly be our shortest book club of the show so far.
We just covered it.
So we'll see a little bit more on that later on. But Richard, in all these weeks that has been since we've talked to each other, it's only been two, but you know, in all these weeks that's been, what have you been reading?
Surprisingly little, David. As I said, I've been at the Sydney Film Festival for quite a bit of time, but there was actually something I wanted to talk about because I saw a documentary last night. It was one that we'd mentioned before, and it was The Wonder Woman, The Secret Story of the American Superhero.
Oh, yeah, I want to see that.
Yeah, and it's really good. Like, I mean, it's kind of like a slightly extended version of that Ink documentary we saw.
Right.
But it's more or less, taking the feminist point of view, it largely concentrates on Wonder Woman, but it also looks at other female superheroes like Buffy and the Bionic Woman and other people that have come along in the last few years. It's a good little story, but it really is kind of in that same format as Ink. You know, it looks at a sort of a broad history of a superhero over time, talks to different commentators on it. Who it doesn't talk to, which was really disappointing, are any of the comic book creators.
Hmm.
And it doesn't talk to. It only seems to take. It's funny because it's like Fox News, which. In which I should say, oh, I've just lost my soundboards. This gag is completely gone.
Isn't that a pain when things like that happen?
Yeah, like Fox News, in which
Archie and Veronica blush.
Ah, there you go.
Put more on that later. This sort of does the same thing, but from a complete left point of view, where it kind of takes comic books that are no longer really representative of modern comic books and says, you know, this is how they're representing or misrepresenting women.
Oh. Okay.
And I've had a bit of a problem with that, because even though they did sort of acknowledge that, you know, there'd been changes and things had come along, they never really mentioned the fact that they briefly had Wonder Woman in pants, for example.
Hmm.
Or, you know, they never mentioned, you know, all the changes that they made to that. And they never mentioned that all those things that had come along in the meantime to actually make her a more modern feminist character. But so I had a bit of a problem there, because they sort of kind of used the same sound bites that the other people use, but it's still a good documentary because it's still a good historical piece, and it's well worth a look for geeks and feminists alike.
Well, we'll have to have a look at that, I think.
But what I have been reading in the last couple of weeks, I've been following along, is the Before Watchmen stuff. Now, this is probably the biggest comic book event of the year outside of all the other really big comic book events this year.
Yeah, I was about to say, there's been a few this year, dude.
Well, look, you know, Before Watchmen is probably the most controversial. Actually, no, there's been quite a few controversies this year.
It kind of pales in comparison with a lot of stuff going on, actually.
Yeah. Before Watchmen is a comic book that's come out.
It's a comic book and it has a yellow cover, right?
So. Yeah. There's a whole series of them coming out. We've had three so far. The ones that we've had released so far, and I'm just double-checking the title. The first one we had was the Minutemen book. Yeah. Then we had a Silk Spectre book. And then we had, since then, we've had also the Comedian book. But to come, we've still got an Ozymandias book, a Rorschach book, and a Dr. Manhattan book.
Mm-hmm.
And they're all going to be between 4 and 6 issues each over the next 4 to 6 months. So this is a major event for DC. I was kind of defending the idea when it first came out, saying, look, you know, it's Alan Moore's creation, sure. But, like, you know, like every other comic book character, other people deserve to play with these characters. But now, having read it, I wish it had just stayed.
Well, and the problem is that you and I both talked about this. The problem is that now that we're actually seeing it, it kind of makes you appreciate what we had before.
Well, the thing is, look, you read the very first book, which is Minutemen. That was the very first one released. The first thing you get is this really lengthy explanation as to what's actually happening on panel or what's happening in the world, and you realize how well Alan Moore managed to weave in the history of this whole universe he'd created that we only saw a fraction of on panel.
Hmm.
But what we're actually the information we were gleaning from any given issue was actually far more than what he was actually, you know, literally giving us, which is the complete opposite of what you get with Before Watchmen, Minutemen. And I'm just trying to pull it up now. Here we are. In the very first issue, you get, you know, a little bit of a philosophical opening, but then the rest of it is, who's the autobiography that we get glimpses of, you know, the Under the Hood.
Yeah, Under the Hood. I was about to say the Night Owl one, but it's not Night Owl, it's the Under the Hood book.
He was the original Night Owl. Yeah. You get his kind of almost narrating the first bit of the book, talking about how the Minutemen first came together, and it's a very literal retelling of that. It's not. There's no, and I can't see anywhere that this is going to finish. That we glean anything that we didn't know from Alan Moore's book, or that and, you know, and if we did glean any new information, people would cry sacrilege anyway.
And this, I think we talked about this several months ago when I said the problem is that Alan Moore, his story was so well-rounded and we had such a rich history on it already. I don't think we needed to go any further.
And look, you know, the thing is, this is this is fan fiction in some ways. You know, this is some beautiful art. Darwin Cook does the art on I think he does both before Watchmen. He certainly writes two of the titles. He does the art and writes before Watchmen, Minutemen, and for Silk Spectre, he writes it, and Amanda Connor, who did a lot of work on Power Girl, does the art. And they're both beautifully drawn books. Hmm. They both look really, really good. And I like the Silk Spectre one a little bit more, although, as I was saying to you before the show, it's kind of like what you'd get if you mixed a Saturday morning cartoon with The Watchmen. You should get all this kind of stuff. It's funny what we're doing, Archie, this week, because half the book feels like a really nasty version of Archie.
Yeah, and the art style is kind of like that too, isn't it? It's got this kind of odd, simplistic art style.
Now, the comedian one, it implies this relationship that the comedian had with JFK.
I found odd, and it occurred to me afterwards, after I kind of had already prejudged it, that I was thinking of the movie and not the comic book. But it kind of establishes the fact that the movie is not canon.
Mm.
Because in the movie, in the opening credit sequence, we see him shooting Kennedy, you know? And this book kind of establishes this very friendly, almost brother-like relationship with the Kennedys.
And that he was actually purposely taken out of the picture, however briefly it seems, in order for Kennedy to be shot.
Mm,
so that's the implication in the first issue.
And I kind of, one of the problems is I didn't buy it, because in the first book, comedian is always portrayed as very right-wing.
It's also implied that he killed Marilyn Monroe as well.
I don't think it was implied. I think it was pretty clear. I think it was pretty clear.
So at the behest of Jackie Kennedy. So it's
one thing that's interesting is they never actually mentioned her name.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, it is a it is an odd book, and again, I don't know if I actually like the direction it's going in, and I don't know if I like if we need to know anything more about this character. I'm going to keep reading them out of a morbid curiosity, but I'm already willing to write this thing off as a failed experiment.
Yeah, I'm kind of at that point, but like with a new TV show, I always believe you can never just judge it on one episode. You kind of got to let it grow and see if it can grow.
It's kind of like we've got three pilots here, and I'm not quite sure whether three potential pilots of spin-off series from The Watchmen.
Exactly. So, we've still got two more to go, and I'm not sure if I want to greenlight any of them, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
I think if I was going to greenlight any of them, Comedian has been the best of the three, but it's not something that I'm really excited about at all.
No.
What I am excited about, though, is I went ahead over the course of the last 3 weeks. I've had lots of train time. And having lots of train time, I got very, very involved in a series. And it was really, really fun to just like immerse myself in a series. What I actually did was we read the Extremis. Six issues of Volume 4 of Iron Man. Well, I went on and I actually completed the entire Volume 4 of Iron Man and the complete Volume 5. Up to date. And God, I enjoyed it. It was so good. It is a really interesting story arc for those who have actually read things like Civil War and Siege, but may not have read all of the comics in between.
Mm.
Reading that particular sequence of Iron Man is really fascinating because it's filling in the entire backstory that led between Civil War and Siege and Secret Invasion, in fact. So you've got these three major events happening in the background of this continuous series of Iron Man. Now, it's only one person's perspective, but it kind of makes you think, boy, if you were reading comic books straight through, all of this background stuff is happening while you've got these major events occurring. And it's a really, really interesting arc because there is actually doubt thrown in, which you don't get in the series Civil War at all, but there is doubt thrown in that it may have been Extremis that led to Civil War. Because messing with his head a little bit, you know what I mean? And this sense of overwhelming power.
It's interesting when you say that, that's with the background stuff, because I found the same thing when I read all of the Avengers arc, like straight through, like 2 years worth of Avengers in 1 week. And I did find that all these major things had happened in the background from, the fall of Asgard to fear itself stuff and all that kind of stuff spinning out of it was all happening in the background, and it was kind of like, but the series kind of continued on in the foreground, and then it kind of informed it. So you do get a different perspective, I think, on these big events and everything if you just take a series out of context and read it down the track, you know?
Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah. And I think it's really, really interesting when you go back and look at this, because there is a wealth of really interesting scenarios that could be used for future Iron Man movies. You can see the informed decisions they've taken from this series for the previous Iron Man movies. You know, you can see all these little bits and pieces all the way through it. It is really, really fantastic, and it's a really good series. And I love the fact that it actually goes through the entire arc of Iron Man, director of S.H.I.E.L.D., when Tony Stark actually was the director of S.H.I.E.L.D. for a while there. It shows how Norman Osborn actually got control of the whole thing and became the Iron Patriot, basically. And so all of those backstories are all told through Iron Man. So it really is an interesting and very pivotal Marvel character. And it's funny when you hear people go, oh, they made a movie and, you know, he was kind of a second-tier character. I don't think Marvel has ever seen Iron Man as a second-tier character.
No.
He's pretty pivotal.
He's been there from the beginning. He was one of the original Marvel characters. And I think the fact that people outside of comics hadn't heard of him is probably true. Mm. He's always been on screen, so to speak, for Marvel readers. I'm going to definitely have to catch up with that over the next couple of weeks. And I think we're kind of slowing down on what we need to do in terms of new releases. And I think a few major stories are coming to a close, so it might be a good opportunity to
I've been finding myself over the last few weeks really going back and catching up with stuff. I've managed to recently get my hands on a bunch of New Avengers, the series that was running during the whole Marvel Superhero Registration Act, when the Avengers were all broken up into different groups. And that's all this sort of stuff. And this is the one that has Luke Cage and Jessica Jones. So I'm very curious to have a read through some of the New Avengers stuff. And I'm also trying to get my hands on, I think it's called Secret Avengers. I think this is the Secret Avengers, I could be wrong about this, and I'll probably get mail about this, but if I'm not wrong, it's the one that actually has Captain America in it. Because they were the outcasts. They were the outlaws.
Right, if I'm looking it up on the sort of vast information network we have now.
Oh, I forgot we had one of those.
Yeah, and that is under the leadership of Captain Steve Rogers, the former.
There you go. So, yeah, I'm looking for the Secret Avengers stuff as well. I'm trying to catch up. I'm trying to fill in those years because when I came back to comic books was Civil War, and then there was Siege, and I'm trying to fill in the gap in the middle. You know, I came back at Siege. And I went back and read Civil War. So now I'm trying to catch up with all the stuff that happened in those middle years.
Yeah, look, I mean, we'll probably go back and we'll talk about some of these on a future show, but all of them are just so big. Like, you know, Civil War was like a thousand issues or something, you know?
it is immense, and it is a very big chore I've set myself trying to do this. I've also been catching up with the new 52, and I have a question.
Yes,
what point does it stop becoming the new 52?
Well, this is something we'll touch on in when we get into the comic news, because when we talk about what they're doing in September. But they're starting new series, they're dropping series, they're having new ones coming in. I think, you know, a year into this, we can just call it the DC Universe.
I think we might have to, because I think calling it the new 52 now just feels a bit weird after 10 months.
Given that six issues or six titles from the original new 52 were no longer there.
That's true, and we're about to lose another one. So, I think the marketing push of the new 52 is fantastic, but I think we need to establish that this is now the DCU and move on, unless something is around the corner, which you and I have speculated.
Yes, I suspect they will be doing a bit of a reboot soon, because I think in more and more of the comics, they're starting to sort of imply that something's not right with the world.
Yeah, the event that is going to set in motion or lock. Basically, at the moment, it's kind of like how do we establish this? You know, when you make like one of those. This is going to be a really weird analogy. Sorry, but you know that putty, the DAS modeling clay. It's like they've modeled this universe, but they still haven't put it in the oven to set. You know, that's kind of how I feel. And I kind of feel like they're still molding it.
Yeah, and I agree with you.
And we're waiting for them to put it in the oven and actually lock it down. And I think the event that is going to actually put it in the oven and lock it down is going to be this Pandora thing.
Yeah, yeah. And there's the Trinity War coming next year.
Yeah, I think that is the moment where we decide whether or not this is the new universe or whether they're going to reboot some of the old universe.
Agreed, absolutely.
So that's kind of what we're waiting for.
Yeah.
And I think they'll continue calling it the New 52 until that time.
Yeah.
Should we do some comic news?
The newish 52. Yes, I think it's time for some comics news, David.
What a scoop!
I've missed that.
Me too.
Did you just call it the newish 52?
I did call it the newish 52.
I love that. I'm going to call it that from now on. I'm going to call it the not so old 52.
And it's not even going to be 52 soon, as we'll talk about in a few stories' time. I think there's going to be closer to 56. So go figure. Anyway, for our first story, paging Dr. Miller, paging Dr. Miller, could you please come to the ward, Dr. Miller? Mark Miller, who we've spoken about several times on this show, was presented with an honorary degree of Doctor of Letters by the Glasgow Caledonian University this week coming up. So Miller, who lives in the Glasgow area, dropped out of university to take up writing professionally, but of late has returned as a guest speaker, says Bleeding Cool. He tweeted out about this week. He said he spent 2 days writing his acceptance speech for a doctorate next week. Totally chuffed, but had never written this much for free ever. So I think it's really great. I mean, like, to me, I think it's great that, you know, Glasgow is acknowledging, you know, that his writing is of such a high degree that they're giving him an honorary doctorate. Also that joins that his ex-writing partner Grant Morrison was also made an MBE, a member of the British Empire, and 2008 publisher Jason Kingsley was made an OBE this year as well. So comics industry is getting some major recognition by the British.
I'm sorry, but can we just go back? I just need to step back a second. Honorary degree of Doctor of Letters?
Yes.
It's a mouthful, isn't it?
let's just call him the Doctor.
Dr. Mark Miller. Oh, dear.
Imagine Mark Miller writing for Doctor Who.
Oh, no. That wouldn't be good. Not the right writer for Doctor Who. he's too busy off self-promoting anyway.
Hit Girl could be a companion. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we'll go from there.
Fair enough.
You know, I was about to drop in a Hit Girl line, and I realized.
No. That stop you right there.
I realized which show I was on.
I think if you did that, we would have to do something like this. There you go.
Right, I'm skipping right over the next story because it's boring. So I'm going straight into something which I think we'll talk a little bit more about, which is DC introducing the Zero Month in September. Now.
This is the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard.
Yeah, you beat me to it, David. Yeah, absolutely. It's look, you know, the last time they did Zero was back in Zero Hour, and I think that was about 94. And that's, look, even then it was confusing because I dropped out of reading comics somewhere between 93 and, you know, 98 or something. And so going back and trying to work out what the hell happened with Zero Hour and what all these Zero issues were, was confusing enough then. I'd only been away from the comics world for a few years. Having only just rebooted the entire new, you know, new 52, newish 52, as we were just saying, having a zero number drop in there, surely that's going to confuse the hell out of potential punters.
This is also on top of the fact that we've just had a few of them have annuals, which already confuse things.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, I don't know. Correct me if I'm wrong, but have these comics earned a zero yet? Well, they've only been out for 10 issues.
Yeah, well, there'll be 12 issues by the time this comes out. But the other weird thing is that they're doing that same month, 4 new issues are debuting with 0 issues. And this, admittedly, people who are just tuning into this, yes, this news is a few weeks old, but we haven't spoken about it yet.
No, we've been away.
Yeah. Now, one of the issues, there's 4 new books starting. One of them's going to be Talon, which is spinning straight out of the Court of Owls stuff.
Yeah.
The writer on it's going to be Scott Snyder, which is great because he's been doing amazing things with Batman at the moment.
Yeah.
You've got Sword of Sorcery, which is bringing back a character called Amethyst, and that's kind of a magical sword and sorcery kind of thing.
That might have potential.
That could have potential, but the books that DC have been doing around magic and sorcery and medieval stuff have not worked terribly well lately.
That's true.
There's the Phantom Stranger, which was being hinted at for ages.
That's to do with Pandora. So
it is indeed, and he was last seen in that DC Free Comic Book Day book.
Yeah,
In fact, the little slug line says it's about the true origin of the Phantom Stranger and his connection to the mysterious Pandora.
There you go.
And finally, there's Team 7. Which is going to be the slug line is that Superman emerges, so does the world's countermeasures against him and his kind. Team 7 is comprised of Dinah Lance, Amanda Waller, Steve Trevor, John Lynch, Alex Fairchild, Cole Cash, and Slade Wilson, a.k.a. Deadpool.
Hmm.
Not Deadpool, the other
Not
one. Whichever one he is. Hang on. Deathstroke.
Deathstroke, thank you.
Whatever Marvel, DC's equivalent of Deathpool and Deadpool. So they're all going to be followed by new number ones in October, and then it'll resume all the other books will resume their regular numbering then. Look, I don't like the zero issue idea. I like some of these new titles. Some of them I don't see lasting the first year. Like Team 7 sounds okay, but if Dinah Lance is going to be in this, is Birds of Prey, what's she doing over there, you know? Amanda Waller, it's a good idea, but I just don't see, it's not strong enough to me.
Well, like Amanda Waller is currently in Suicide Squad. Dinah Lance is currently in Birds of Prey. Steve Trevor is currently in Justice League. Slade Wilson is in Deathstroke.
He's been doing anything as well. So I don't see, like, it's kind of the same problem with Justice League International. They had an international team, but there was no heavy hitters in it, and they just made an even weaker team with Team 7.
I don't know. I'd need to see this before I can pass judgment. I don't quite understand how exciting this is going to be.
No, I don't see it either. And also the fact that they're adding 4 new titles. The last time they added 6 new titles, they dropped 6 as well. So does this mean that sometime between now and October, 4 titles will drop?
Well, let's have a look. We could drop Deathstroke because Slade is now in Team 7. We could drop... No, we can't drop Justice League.
And you can't drop... And you're not dropping Birds of Prey, my friend.
And you're not going to drop Suicide Squad because these are all good ones.
Yeah.
So... Have I told you about my math doesn't work on this?
yeah. No, the math doesn't work. I think we're going to be talking about the new 56 very shortly. So,
unless they're going to drop... some. Oh, well, we're losing... Justice League International.
Sorry, the new 55 then, because, yeah, we're losing Justice League.
Yeah, we're losing Justice League International. I think, is it time we killed Grifter?
I think the time we killed Grifter was about issue 2.
And can we kill Batwing? You know, it's like these
Batwing was dead on arrival.
Yeah, so we can kill those two. We could kill Deathstroke, definitely. I have no problems with dropping Deathstroke off the agenda. And so that's 3.
And anything with combat and anything.
We can lose GI combat. We don't need the soldiers with dinosaurs. We can get rid of them. All right.
Just get rid of that whole thought process that keeps bringing out new soldier books. You know,
it's ridiculous. Just kill it. I'm ashamed of you. I need to go back. I'm sorry. I just looked at this past story you said we're going to skip, and all I can see is dinosaurs versus aliens. Just 2 minutes. Give me 2 minutes. Explain this.
Okay, well, there's not much to explain. It's just basically dinosaurs versus aliens is is a book that Grant Morrison's got coming out. But the story was only that Yahoo are actually going to be doing digital motion comics. One of them's going to be Dinosaurs versus Aliens. And the other one I've completely forgotten because I've closed the story now.
I remember this story now. That's all right. So this isn't as weird as I thought it was. I don't know about the motion comics part, but the Dinosaurs versus Aliens, the thing that caught my eye. That's the one that Barry Sonnenfeld's developing to be a film.
Yes.
That's right.
It's very similar to what Mark Millar did with Kick-Ass. Developed the comic, developed the film simultaneously. They're doing the same thing. Barry Sonnenfeld and Grant Morrison are developing this concept, Dinosaurs versus Aliens, simultaneously. It's going to be a book. It's drawn by Mukesh Singh. There's going to be it's going to be out next week from Dynamite Entertainment. And there's going to be a Yahoo Motion version of that as well.
I'm there with you now. It's all right.
But the other one that they're going to do is a few years old now, Guy Ritchie's Gamekeeper, originally published by Virgin. It was written by our good friend Andy Diggle.
You know, I think I've got that somewhere.
Yeah, we'll have to dig say,
to dig through
diggle, what, diggle that up. Oh, dig,
oh that's terrible.
Sorry, Andy, we love you.
Where are we? Gamekeeper. That's right. This is sounding very familiar to me. I think I might have Gamekeeper. I'm gonna have to dig through the pile. I will
that
dig through the pile.
Sounds reasonable. Well, this show's turned into a hot mess. I think we should just move on to movie news.
Movie news. I can do that.
Oh, yeah.
I love
missed
movie
that
news.
One as well.
Yeah, I miss that. Your voice is so sexy.
it really is. Oh, what did Superman say? Yeah, I know.
Use my freaky X-ray vision.
What?
Use my freaky X-ray vision.
Here's my freaky low. Anyway, Dark Knight Rises, the other DC character that's coming to film soon, not as a musical, unfortunately.
I'd love that.
That would be awesome.
What is it? Rock of Ages? Batman of Ages. There you go.
Anyway, it's coming out in like a month's time, I think.
It's not far away now.
No, very close. We've got Spider-Man next week. And then...
Next week, week after next.
Yeah, week after next, sorry, yeah. Yeah. And then we've got Batman not long after that.
Yeah, yeah. So we're coming to an end of the big events, though, aren't we?
Yeah, look, I'm a bit over it.
Yeah, we're coming to the end of the big summer, so...
Yeah, thank
there's
God.
There's been some disappointments in there. There's been some real thrills, but some disappointments.
It's true.
Hmm.
But
anyway.
One thing that Dark Knight's doing is throwing out a bit of viral work, which always is a worry, but, you know, we'll go with it.
Yeah, but they kind of invented it, so I give them.
Yeah, no, that's fair enough. With this one, they've just put out an issue of the Gotham Observer, which is a Gotham City's daily newspaper. It costs a dollar. Just in case you're interested.
Cool.
But the getting on online, the pages are absolutely free. One of the things they've done is they've got the front page story is that there's going to be a Harvey Dent Day festivity, which seems to be an annual holiday for Gotham City to mark the death of District Attorney Harvey Dent, who, spoilers people, died at the end of The Dark Knight.
But the people of Gotham didn't know he was a bad guy because Batman took the fall for him.
That's right.
Hmm.
And so they got that. They got a little story in there about Zach Harris, who's a football player who's re-signed with the Rogues. I'm guessing he's the guy that you see running in the.
I'm guessing.
Yeah. They've got something in there about the public library being renamed. There's a few things in there. There's an ad for Mountain Dew because this was put up on a Mountain Dew viral website.
Oh, of course.
There's a thing about construction sites being ransacked, which I guess. We'll come back later. What caught most people's attention and what caught my attention was the daily horoscopes in here.
Oh, really? I didn't even look at those.
Now, one of these for Pisces, which I believe is Bruce Wayne's star sign.
Oh, okay.
Is although things seem hard, it's your job to rise up and face them. But also under Virgo, which is also very interesting. Is someone from your past will make a surprise appearance.
Uh-huh.
So I think that could be a little clue in there as well. Right next to that is a big R, which for Riken Data, revolutionizing personal security. If you go to that website, rikendata.com, that's another viral website.
Ah.
And you get another little piece of information, which is a U.S. patent application publication for the inventors A. Heiberger, Gotham City, for Riken Data Corporation. And it's personal histories organized by names, dates, and birth, credit card numbers, driver's license numbers, blah, 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 blah. There's a whole lot of stuff there. In response to the growth, it's basically about digital information retrieval, DIR program, which one's personal history can be accessed without one's knowledge or approval. Riken Data has developed the methods in which software-based application can source the total sum of one's personal information, archived on all databases, and permanently purge this data, effectively granting the subject a clean slate within the digital world. So that could be interesting, how that ties into.
It was actually a U.S. patent published in 2004.
Mm.
So it's this is already in effect in Gotham, obviously.
Yes, apparently.
Yeah.
So that's out there. Some people have looked at that big R on Riken Data and said immediately, well, that's where Robin gets his R from.
Oh, yeah, maybe.
But I'm a little skeptical. The whole thing about what's his name? God, the actor's name has slipped my mind.
Which one?
Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
Oh, right, yes.
So, like, you know, whether or not the connection between Joseph Gordon-Levitt and Robin, that's been floating around for a while, whether or not they're actually going to go down that path. I don't think so. They'll probably just have him as a bit of a partner character, because all the trailers seem to, you know, have him sort of waiting for Batman to return and wanting to fight the good fight himself. So how this all ties in, very interesting that this bit of viral stuff has just dropped a month before the film. So like to see what goes on there. Go to dewgothamcity.com for more viral stuff, and go to rikindata.com for the little US
Batman. I actually love these little viral campaigns from the Batman films, because they're not blatant, but there's always little hints of information in here.
Yeah. I mean, look, if you read through that whole newspaper – You'll kind of get a hint about what's happening in the world. You know, you got a quote in there from Jim Gordon. You've got these things about a slew of burglaries plaguing the city. So you get a hint that crimes may be on the rise again since Batman's been gone.
Yeah, well, we've got that picture of DC Foley, which is of course what's his name? What's the actor's name? Help me out here. Third Page. What?
Yeah, no, I've forgotten the actor's name completely.
He was, you know, he was in Pacific Heights and stuff like that. So it's, I forget what his name is now. Matthew Modine, thank you.
Yes, Matthew Modine. Of course.
It had to come to me eventually. But yeah, Matthew Modine from, Full Metal Jacket and so forth. And it's like, you go, oh, so okay, so Matthew Modine is a cop. There he is. You know what I mean? It's like all these little hints all the way through it.
Yeah, so I'm liking what's happening there, and, you know, I'm looking forward to it. Of course, the other major comic book news, film news that came out this week, was that a little book by the name of Judge Dredd is getting adapted again. I am the law.
I am the law.
And the full trailer came out for the new version of it with Carl Urban as Judge Dredd. What they've promised this time around, of course, is that he will not be taking his helmet off.
Wow, that's good.
And it'll be much truer to the comics. I've got a little bit of a clip here from the trailer.
All right, play it.
We can fight our desires.
Makes the brain feel as if time is passing at 1% its normal speed.
If we play this right, we could take the whole city.
Peachtree is the manufacturing base for all the slow-mo in Mega City 1.
You know how often we get a judge up in Peachtree?
Well, you got one now.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, baby. I'm the law.
You got one now. So, yeah, that's got Lena Headey in it from some HBO TV show.
Yeah, just some small little thing, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, she's in it playing the big drug lord that you heard there. And
she was also Sarah Connor in the Sarah Connor Chronicles.
That's true. She was. I forgot about that. Yeah, yes. I didn't mind that too much.
I didn't mind season one. Season two kind of lost me.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. Yeah. But yeah, she's playing Mama in the film, Lena Headey, and of course Carl Urban as Dredd himself, and they seem to have gotten the look down pat. It'll be interesting to see how they, you know, keep up with fan expectations, given that they were dashed once before.
Well, and then look, quite frankly, in the Sylvester Stallone one, the look of the film wasn't the problem.
No,
they actually really quite nailed 2000 AD and Judge Dredd. It was the casting that was the problem in that film.
One thing I will say about this trailer, the plot line looks identical to The Raid.
Yeah. Well, you know, The Raid made a lot of money.
The Raid did make a lot of money, but this just seems to be like, you know, they have to go into this building and take it down, and they have to go up a whole lot of floors and buildings and stuff to bring this thing down. And
it's kind of there is actually a recurring storyline in Judge Dredd, though, with the block wars. So this is obviously what they're going for. So
no, absolutely great. I mean, I think it'll have a very different feel to it. Given it, you know, how much you and I loved The Raid.
Yeah, but see, in The Raid, he didn't wear a big helmet and carry a big gun.
That's true.
You know, or wear the big shoulder pads. So
he was not the law. He was the law, but he was not the law.
He was not the law.
No, exactly right. He was not, to paraphrase Nick Frost, Judge, Judy, and Executioner.
That's... yes.
Yeah. Right, so next bit of porn-tastic news.
I don't know if we should do this story. I have a bad feeling about this.
This is another one from Bleeding Cool that was put up this week. I got sent a... press release this morning from Sinister Comics or Sinister Syndicate, and I've forgotten the name of the place now. It's Rob Black's production company,
right?
And this is Rob Black was the guy that was actually jailed a little while ago for his extreme porn.
Oh, this isn't. He's not connected with what's his name, is he? What's his name? It's coming back to me. It'll come back to me later as we keep talking, I'm sure. Max Hardcore.
It could be.
Is that him? Because he went to jail too, and I don't know if Max Hardcore is obviously not his real name. So
It was Extreme Associates was the I'm not sure if that was the Max Hardcore thing.
Yeah, he went to jail on obscenity charges.
Yeah, well so did is what Rob Black went to jail on. Anyway, that director has come back with a vengeance, doing a whole lot of, you know, the porn parody films of superhero characters.
Right.
And he's got coming out next month, Birds of Prey XXX.
Oh, gotta see that.
which it has still got Oracle in a wheelchair. So I'm just saying.
Well, see, because that's going to be much more hardcore.
Yeah. But what they did announce... in a press release that I seem to be on the mailing list for now, Sinister X Syndicate sent me this press release that Lacey James would be starring as Zatanna in the Justice League film.
Fishnets. What was your guy's name again?
My guy?
Yeah, the guy who went to jail.
Oh, Rob Black.
Oh, no, it's a different guy. Max Hardcore was also known as Paul F. Little.
No, Rob Black's also known as Robert Sicari.
So. There you go. See, they all have AKAs after them. I want an AKA after my name. How do I organize that?
David McVeigh, AKA Buck Naked.
There you go.
Anyway, the film that they're bringing out is called Justice League 3DX. It's a 3D XXX film.
Right.
But they also announced this week, and this sort of threw me for a loop, given that we were talking so much about Green Lantern coming out as in the DC Universe, which he did in Earth 2. Book 2, which we both read this week as well.
Yes.
They're going to have the Justice League XXX 3D production will feature a gay Green Lantern, played by gay porn star Adam Killian.
Right.
And there will be a scene where he's getting down with Nightwing.
That's this is going straying into non-comic book territory here. But
we're straying into slash fic here.
We are, but can I just say how unusual it is? I'm not ashamed to say that I've seen my fair share of, you know, porn films over the years, but you don't see gay porn in straight films.
No, not as a rule.
Not as a rule. So this is actually something really different.
So we should praise them for.
I'm gonna praise them. I'm gonna say they're breaking boundaries.
And I think, you know, look, it's great that in Earth 2, issue 2, there was a scene where Alan Scott kissed his gay partner. But in Justice League XXX 3D, Green Lantern's going to be doing more than kissing his partner. So, DC, next move is yours.
Yeah, absolutely. That's up the game. Can I point out, though, that even in the porn world, you're either a Marvel or a DC person?
Yeah.
Because these people are only making parodies of DC film, DC comics.
Yeah, no, because somebody else is. Well, no. Rob Black did. Was it Rob? I don't know. Maybe it wasn't Rob Black. Somebody else did.
This guy's filmography is Batman XXX, Superman XXX, Birds of Prey XXX, Justice League XXX, and
right.
and what's it say? Oh, no, and Green Lantern will be in there. So everything this guy has done has been. Sorry, I just caught out the corner of my eye at the bottom of the article. when it's his X-Men first ass. Oh, dear God. Talk about completely taking me off guard. All right.
and the one next to it was the Wanking Dead.
That we're out. This will be the last episode of Behind the Panels.
you know, David, we've got to go on and talk about Archie after this.
Oh God! I did tell people, warn people, this is going to be a very short Archie review. So,
oh yeah.
and Batman loves Robin. I think that's going to be that.
We didn't tell them that it would be gay / fic immediately before it. So,
oh my God, this article. I love this article. I have fallen in love with who wrote this article.
that article was over at Bleeding Cool.
This is fabulous.
That was written by Rich Johnston. So,
oh man, you are a legend. I want to see. I want to see all of these movies.
We're not ashamed to say that we would go and see these films.
Absolutely, I would go see. Yeah, we threw down the challenge last week. Remember?
Oh yeah.
Well, we actually said on film actually, which doesn't carry. Which carries an explicit tag quite proudly. We actually did throw down the gauntlet saying if you want us to review these parody films, we will do a special.
I think we should do it whether they want it or not.
Maybe, but nobody's responded. So I think they're all sitting back going, they wouldn't dare. Yes, we would, people. Yes, we would. We would go there. All right, let's... Before we let,
I actually have a very special announcement once again.
Okay.
Our good friends at Hopscotch Entertainment have given us more things to give away.
Oh, yay.
Even
though they didn't give me a copy of The Walking Dead, I'm cut about that. But
they only sent me so many copies, David. Now, it is The Walking Dead again. They've given us The Walking Dead Season 2.
Oh! I actually like season 2 better than season 1.
Well, there you go. And so what we're going to be doing is we'll be giving away copies of that. Once again, we will be asking you to send us in to fill in the form that'll be on my website, therealbits.com. There'll be a link on David's site at geekactually.com.
Will there?
Yeah, of it'll be in the show notes.
Of course,
you know?
They will be.
Probably. I don't know. What are we going to make the question this time?
Why didn't Hopscotch give David a copy of The Walking Dead?
Write in and tell us why. Okay, here we go. This is the question for this competition. Why does David deserve a copy of The Walking Dead Season 2?
I love that question.
And if you we'll be judging this purely randomly, but we'll be reading out some of the best answers on air. We have 3 DVD copies and 3 Blu-ray copies to give away.
Aha! Uh-huh. So we have 6 on total.
We have 6 total copies to give away.
So in your entry, you have to state whether you want Blu-ray or DVD.
That's right. I'll put that in the form. There'll be a thing there saying DVD or Blu-ray. And state which one you want. Give us your details. If you don't have a Blu-ray player this time, doesn't matter. You can still enter this competition and you can still enjoy your Walking Dead. It just won't be as high def.
Now, I also have to stress, and I stress this every time, but I have to stress it again because we just recently had a Teen Wolf competition on the Geek Actually site, and we have to stress, this is for Australian residents only because of region codes.
Absolutely.
And we're cheap. We don't want to mail overseas.
There is no way I'm posting these overseas.
Now, the reason why I have to stress this again is because for the Teen Wolf competition, I got an entry in from Canada.
Yeah, that happens.
It happens. So, just once again.
I have giant bold letters in my competitions. Do not. Yeah. I actually give people the answer in my competitions. Still get it wrong and write in from, you know, the UK somewhere. So, like, you know, I'm not saying that the people from the UK are wrong. I'm just saying
you can't enter.
Right? That you clearly didn't read the terms and conditions that were in giant bold print.
Exactly. Anyway, all that being said, let's talk about this stupid book.
All right,
well,
David.
See how you like this. What is it, Batman?
Whatever it is, it's awfully funny.
It's the pick of the week.
Sorry, I cut you off there. What were you saying?
I was trying to say, and the stupid book needs a theme song, and then you played it.
Yeah, well, my finger just hadn't hit the board yet. All right, so...
Oh, this is a hot mess, but anyway...
All right, so this week, I'm going to lead this off. So this week, we basically said we want to do something weird and fun and kind of lightweight, and we really kind of, after doing The Punisher Meets Archie, we said we should do an Archie book. Bigger fools us. Archie isn't what I remember it to be.
No, look, this book is, how do I put this nicely, dumb.
Well, that's one word I would use for it. Now, this is, of course, Archie Meets Kiss. Now, just to clarify, this is Archie 627 to Archie 630. It's four issues.
But it was released as a collection.
And it has been since released as a collection. And most importantly, as a collection, it is available on Comixology right now if you actually feel you want to read this. In fact, by the time you've heard this, the special is over. But I think it's so weird that the synchronicity that the weekend that we're recording this is the weekend that I got an email from Comixology saying, Archie Meets Kiss, only half price this weekend.
Yeah, well, look, you know... We're trendsetters, David.
All right. So, Richard, tell me what you thought of this hot mess of a book.
Story in a nutshell doesn't really matter.
we can sum up the story in a sentence.
Yeah.
They stupidly cast a protection spell, but Veronica, of course, messes it up, and it brings forth everybody turning into boring zombies, and Kiss have to save the day.
That's pretty... That's not only a description of the setup, but of also the conclusion as well.
And the book guest stars Sabrina the Teenage Witch.
And look, you know, I don't really think I understood any of this book.
I didn't understand a word that was going on. I didn't understand why they were turning into two zombies. I didn't understand why nobody seemed to know Kiss as a rock group.
No. In Riverdale, Kiss doesn't exist.
No, there's some sort of strange interdimensional beings that happen to play music to stop zombies. It's very weird.
You know, I've seen a lot of movies like this, but and I've had a lot of dreams along this line. I didn't understand what was happening to the thing. I did like some of the cliches that they had in the people that were turning into zombies. There was clearly a character that was meant to be a Twilight parody in there.
Yeah, that's true.
It's like it was a vampire that everything makes me sad.
The emo vampire.
Emo vampire. And look, you know, I haven't read a lot of Archie, to be honest. And I imagine this is what it's like, but there's a lot of capering going on here.
Capering?
Yeah, people just running around doing stuff with absolutely no.
Yeah, do you know what?
No,
you want to hear.
That was playing in my head the whole time.
Absolutely.
Josie and the Pussycats turned up at one point as well.
Oh, I forgot they were in this. Now, I have to be full disclaimer. I read this about 3 weeks ago now, and it just went straight out of my head.
Yeah, look, I'm flicking through it again now. Oh, that's right. Sabrina gets kidnapped at one point. Her cat has to save her. look, David, I don't even care anymore.
Look, I quite frankly, I thought the cat was the best thing in the book.
The cat was brilliant, actually. I think he probably does have his own book. There's a whole lot of Archie.
Was it me, or did Jughead just come across as mean in many of these panels?
Jughead was a dick.
I remember him being a dick.
He's been a dick a bit lately, I think. And Betty and I just still want to see that book where Betty, Veronica, and Archie have a threesome.
Well, there is that strange graphic novel we saw, which was Archie gets married and he's marrying them both.
I think, look, I was actually, when you're flicking through these books as well, there's ads for these other comics, and it's like Archie in a cyber universe.
I think the book has been going far too long. I think they have literally run out of ideas.
Yeah, there's this other book that actually sounds kind of cool. It's Life with Archie. And in one book, Archie marries Betty, and in the other, he marries Veronica. And it's like two parallel worlds that have happened.
And I think they just needed to make it one world where he is basically being marrying both of them.
Yeah, I think he should. Absolutely.
And having then inviting Reggie over and having group sex. I think that would be much better. And then the million moms would have something to protest as well, which makes life
Archie
much more
and
interesting.
Veronica, blush.
but the thing is, but there's another one, and apparently that series, though, has gone on and done some really interesting stuff because they can play with stuff because it's not in the main, you know, Riverdale universe and all that sort of stuff.
Right.
And that sounds interesting to me, but books like this, I don't know. I don't even know why we chose to read this. It seemed like a good idea at the time.
Well, it looked funny, and I think that was the thing. We kind of went, oh, yeah, The Punisher meets Archie was quite a funny crossover, and we thought the idea of putting the Archie world together with these strange things seems like a good idea, but I think Archie meets the Punisher was a fluke.
Well, here's the difference, though. I think Archie and Mr. Punisher was a Marvel book. And even though they had the Archie world down pat and they had some of the Archie writers and stuff, it still felt like a Marvel book. It still felt like it was in the Marvel universe. This is entirely an Archie book. And as I said, I've not read Archie for quite some time. But Archie is still trying to go for this wholesome way of life that I don't think existed in the 50s, in the 40s and 50s when it was created.
Yeah, but then they go ahead and they introduce stuff like the Kevin Keller character who, you know, rocked the Million Moms worlds. And you see and you go, how wholesome are they trying to play this? You know what I mean?
I'm not quite. Yeah, I mean, this is a book that's been running since the 40s.
And don't get me wrong, I think Kevin Keller is a great idea. I think making a gay character and gay marriage and everything else, fantastic, you know? I look at the Archie world and go, I don't think they have a clear idea what they want to do.
No, I mean, look, this is a book that's been probably in continuous publication for the longest time. Like, it's one of the longest running comic books out there. This one that we are looking at, Archie Meets Kiss, is fairly recent.
And that was one of the things that really spun me out about this, because I thought when we chose this book, I thought this is also going to be funny because it's going to be a flashback in time, because it's got to be the 70s, early 80s, because that's when Kiss was hot. You know what I mean? And then to find out this was only written last year.
Yeah,
it was the hell?
This was like I think it might have even been early this year that the last issue came out. Because they were doing previews for Archie 630 back in February earlier this year. So that must have only just come out. Like the last issue of this only came out. The last issue of this series came out on February 22nd this year.
Yeah, so this is not even a nostalgia piece. This is just weird.
This is weird. I don't understand why this book happened at all in 2011, 2012. Kiss aren't even a thing anymore, are they?
Well, they're still a rock group, but they're not. I mean, the way that they're portrayed in this book is the way they were at the height of their popularity, in their costume days.
I mean, you know, to their credit, at least they didn't kind of go like, you know, Archie meets Mumford and Sons, or you know, Archie, or just try to really cash in on that thing, you know, Florence and the Machine versus, Sabrina the Teenage Witch or something, you know, that they didn't try and throw Karen O into the mix from the Yeahs or anything. But I mean, it's like, you know, they didn't try and do it for that cheap cash in, or you know, have Katy Perry or Lady Gaga, you know.
Oh, Archie meets Lady Gaga is where it should have been.
Okay, I would have liked to have seen Archie meets Lady Gaga.
I would have read that.
and don't discount that yet, because she's turning up everywhere.
That's true.
See, that would have been like a cheap cash-in to really attract audiences who have no interest in Archie comics whatsoever.
Yeah. But Kiss?
But Kiss doesn't work. I mean, like, even with your Katy Perrys of the world, who've got that kind of slightly retro bubblegum kind of thing going for them, yeah. You can kind of see how they'd fit into this world. But Kiss has no relevance to modern readers, so I don't know.
And it has absolutely zero relevance to Archie.
Absolutely. I mean, obviously, someone was whoever was smoking the same crack that they were smoking when they came up with said, "Let's do Punisher."
They said, "What other crossovers can we do, man?"
which brings us to something we will be doing because we've got a whole collection of crossover comics now.
Yeah,
we've been busy finding them. These for us.
some of the titles. I got to tell you, we'll kind of drip feed it out over the next few months. But shall we hit them with some?
Oh, I think so.
Let me just see what I can dig up here really quickly, okay? How about Bruce Wayne, Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D.? That's cool.
I like it. I like that one.
I'm liking that. Yeah. And I've also got, I've managed to pick up JLA and the Avengers, so that's going to be kind of fun. But I think we need to go to slightly more esoteric here. How about, where was it? There was one here that I loved. Punisher and Batman, Deadly Nights.
My favorite one is Batman versus Hulk.
That's yeah, there it is. Batman versus Hulk and Superman versus Spider-Man.
Because I don't care how you know much of a fan you are of any of those cases. There's clear winners in both of those cases.
I'm just showing Nicholas the cover for it.
I don't care what's in Batman's utility belt.
The blazing battle you never expected to see. No crap.
Crime murdered my family, so now I'm going to stalk the streets of Gotham until the Hulk turns up.
And clobbers me.
You know, because clearly he's on my agenda now.
How about Thorian? And Thorian of the New Asgards.
Oh my god! Is that one of the Amalgam books?
Yeah, I think it is.
Oh, like Lobo the Duck.
Lobo the Duck. I forgot about Lobo the Duck. There you go. Yes, I've got Lobo the Duck as well. Yes, no, there's some great quality stuff coming up that we're going to dig into. wow. Oh, and I also love the Wonder Woman one, which is Punisher and Diana Prince together. Bullets and Bracelets. It's called.
Love it.
It says Castle and Diana together again. Oh, what? Again? They've been together again? They've been together before? All right, let's find that one while we're at it.
That's insane.
Oh, man, you got to love it. Who knew there were this many team-ups?
I know, there's massive amounts of them. I mean, here I was thinking it was just like the JLA versus the Avengers was like this massive... you know, once in a lifetime crossover that was done. And then, it turns out that not only have Punisher and Wonder Woman teamed up, but they've done it at least twice.
Well, and it's interesting because, and there's probably comic book people out there who know much more about this than we do, obviously, because we were only just discovering the big crossover worlds. But there is actually a couple of short miniseries called DC Marvel Access. And they are basically this guy who is traveling interdimensionally who is seeing these crossovers happening. So obviously they do fall into canon somewhere.
Right.
And so this Access character is kind of trying to make sense of the world because they shouldn't. It shouldn't be happening.
My favorite one now is Legends of the Dark Claw, which seems to be Wolverine as Batman.
All right. Yeah, so these Amalgam books are all to do with this Access guy. So,
right.
So I'm going to do a little bit of research and find out more about it before we delve into these. But finding these is like a gold mine.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm looking forward to it a lot.
I can't wait to read Generation Hex. But anyway, that is just a Doctor Strange fate. That is just a...
See, I tell you, once you get started, man, it's like scratching an itch.
We'll save a few Spider-Boy for later, because when we get back to Bat Thing, we'll undoubtedly want to cover that as well. Next week,
yes,
we will be looking at a big title, a classic title, because they always go down so well.
Well, actually, no, we kind of needed to go back to a classic, and this is probably in the Marvel Universe. We did the Green Lantern, Green Arrow for the DC Universe, but for the Marvel Universe, this is a pretty pivotal moment.
Yeah, and also because next week, the week after next, The Amazing Spider-Man comes out in cinemas. We thought we'd look at one of the books that undoubtedly had an influence on that, if not directly, indirectly, which is Spider-Man, The Amazing Spider-Man, Death of Gwen Stacy.
Our spoilers.
The spoiler is in the title, people.
Now, for those who pick up the trade, you can actually get it as a trade, The Death of Gwen Stacy. But if you want to look up individual issues, you're looking at issues of Amazing Spider-Man, issues 96 to 98, and then jump a whole bunch and go to 121 to 122. Now, the classic two are 121 and 122.
That's right.
These are considered to be the comics that changed the Marvel Universe. You know, this is where everything changed. And it's also supposed to be the foundation of Peter Parker.
Mm.
So it's pretty important stuff. 96 and 98 is the setup.
This is kind of where Stan Lee had left the book, and they immediately go ahead and make all the changes they wanted to make.
Yeah, then turned it into a real book. You know?
Yeah. So,
rather than just, oh, doll. So we are going to do The Death of Gwen Stacy next week. And it's actually, do you know what? This is something I have not read in probably 30 years.
Wow.
So, because I read it as a child, but I haven't read it in years. You know what I mean? So,
it's probably been about a decade since I've read it as well.
So, I am actually really looking forward to this.
Mm.
And what I am proposing to do, and I don't know if we're going to be able to, we won't do it on the show, we won't cover it all, but I am going to start at issue 96, and I'm going to try and read straight through to 122.
Dear God, man.
I know, it's craziness, I tell you. It's craziness.
Well, good luck with that.
Oh, thank you. But the official review will only be those four issues.
Right.
Right.
That sounds reasonable.
Sounds reasonable. All right. So that's next week. We need to throw out a very quick plug to my son Nicholas, because he's hard at work again on doing more superhero-related stuff. And yay, as you know, we love his superhero-related stuff. He recently – I don't know if we talked about it on the show because we've been off for a few weeks, but he recently animated – or reanimated, I should say – the title sequence to the Captain America cartoon. You remember. It's this one.
When Captain America throws his mighty shield.
Yeah, that one. And he did all that in Lego, right? Well, he's currently working on the Iron Man one, for those who don't remember. It's this one.
Tony Stark makes you feel he's a cool exec with a heart of steel.
Yeah, so keep an eye on his channel for those, because when he does these short little things, they're actually quite fun. And that you can find at youtube.com/Nikki McVeigh. And Richard, where can we find out more about you?
You can find me, as always, at therealbits.com. That's therelbits.com, or on Twitter at DVDBits. See, I remembered.
Excellent. It's been so long. You can find me at geekactually.com or at David McVeigh on Twitter. Now, we should throw out a quick statement, shouldn't we? We're not going to make it to Comic-Con.
We're
boo,
not.
Hiss, boo. Some things have come up, and even though we really want to go and we're all accredited and everything, we're not going to make it to Comic-Con. So, we want to thank very much those few people who did contribute to our trip to Comic-Con. But because we're not going to go, we just need to know if you could send us emails. I'm going to write to you guys individually as well. But if you could just send us emails saying what you would like us to do, because we were more than willing to refund your donations because we aren't going to go. So just let us know what you want us to do. Refund it, or we can hold on to it for a future event or whatever else. I mean, running a studio may cost money. You know what I mean? So we can always hold on to it, or we can send it back. Not a problem. So either way,
sweet.
You've got your soundboard back.
I know, it's great, isn't it?
So just let us know what you want us to do, and we are very disappointed by not going, but the show must go on.
It must.
It must. And on that note, we got to finish the show. All right, dude. Have you got anything more to add to this mess?
No. Look, just remember the links to the competition for The Walking Dead, not The Wanking Dead, will be available in the show notes. And we look forward to seeing you all next week.
I want to know where I can get a copy of X-Men First Ass. See you next week, Richard.
See you, man.
Bye.
And welcome back to issue 32 of Behind the Panels, the comic book podcast that's considered a princess on a geek island. No, wait, that's not what I was going to say. I'm going to do that again.
All right, hold on. Stopping stopwatch. And stopwatch is starting now.
I had this down before.
It has been too long, hasn't it?
Oh no! I've got it. I remembered what I was going to.
Okay, here we go. And
okay, cleanse.
All right. No! Don't start them off. Don't start. All right, here we go. And stopwatch is starting now.
Welcome back to issue 32.
We're out.